Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Movember presents In the Barber Chair, a podcast dedicated to bringing you real cuts and real conversations about men's health. I'm Matt Johnson and I'm your host. Movember wants men to take action to live happier, healthier, longer lives, and they invest in prostate cancer, testicular cancer, mental health and suicide prevention. Hi, this is Matt Johnson in the barber chair again for Movember. Welcome back. Today's guest is an English rugby star by the name of George Furbank. George, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm doing well, thank you. Doing well. Obviously, rugby's not going so well for our team, but staying positive, so we're all good.
How do you stay positive when the results aren't going your way as a team?
I think we've got a really good group of lads who are all pretty close. So you kind of just get the enjoyment of being around each other every day, and that's what kind of drives you on is like sharing memories and wanting to win together. So that's what drives us on, and ultimately it's about winning. So we're doing everything we can to try and get that win. So to do that, you have to be positive.
I really find that mindset very interesting. I don't know if you've seen it, but I'm sure you have. The Richie McCaw documentary that he made just after he retired. And he talked a lot about not necessarily preparing for wins or preparing for the moments when you're winning. It's the moments when you are down and when you're losing in a game or you're having a losing run, those are the moments that you have to really work at. And I thought that mindset was very interesting. Is that kind of similar to what you guys work on?
Yeah, I think so. I don't necessarily think we work particularly at the mindset. It's kind of it's an attitude and the way we speak to each other and things like that around the club that allow us to stay positive. I mean, everything's easy when you're winning. Like, you don't have to think about anything and you can just enjoy everything. So, it's a lot harder when you're losing. You can overanalyze things, overthink things. So it's a tough mentality to have. It's kind of, we know what we're good at and we've got things to work on. So sticking to our process and trusting in the coaches and our ability, that's gonna make things come right again. So I mean, it's a tough mentality to have. But it's mentality you have to do to start winning again.
I suppose a lot of it's staying calm as well, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the more pressure you put on yourself as a team and as an individual, the more you're going to struggle probably. So being able to have a clear head and clear thinking is only going to help.
Is there any element of mindfulness with you guys? Do you with stretching, is there an element of yoga or like anything to kind of settle you down? Maybe meditation at all? Is that something that you've explored or as a team?
We haven't explored it as a team really. We've had a few yoga sessions in a couple of pre-seasons. But a lot of it is sort of individual based. I mean, I've done a little bit of stuff. I'm not very good at yoga. I'm pretty inflexible. So, but I do like the breathing stuff. And so the first time I found out about this was on England camp in Six Nations, and spoke to the psychologist there. And she took me through some small breathing exercises to kind of just set myself down, bring my thoughts back into my head and just like what sort of clear my mind and reset. And I quite like doing that if I'm feeling uptight or stressed about something.
Yeah, it comes in handy. And I just think that transition from that machine of professional sports, you know, you're out there to win predominantly and all that type of stuff, but that extra string to your bow, which I'm pretty sure, I think I got a feeling that New Zealand as a team, as a unit, as even as a country, when they have their Maori kind of traditions and their unifying kind of ways of even the haka, I feel is a very grounding and unifying moment where they focus and they get present. I really think it'd be interesting how the future of professional sports, not just rugby, will kind of implement these kind of techniques like what you're doing, just to clear the head, you know.
Yeah, no, I think there's definitely space for it, and it can only be a good thing, really. I think the only thing at the moment is it's quite individual based. Some people like it, some people don't like it. So forcing it on people at the moment may not be a good thing. If there's more and more research that comes out about it, then more people might start buying in, or the more the word of mouth about it, more people might start buying into it, and if it helps them, it helps them.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's more of a culture thing, and trying to change a 30-year-old prop, trying to change their mind to go and do some yoga might be quite interesting. But as you mentioned, England, man, congratulations on your cap. That must have been an incredible feeling.
Yeah, it was unreal. It was surreal, really. Back in January, it was sort of never expected. And then, to get that cap was sort of it was a dream come true. So, hopefully there's a few more to come.
How hard is it to put into words that feeling when you first find out it's actually happening?
Yeah, I mean, luckily I didn't have too much time to think about it. So Eddie pulled me aside before one of the main sessions that week. And said, "Look, mate, you're going to be starting," and then we were straight into the training session. So it wasn't like I had a whole evening to think about it. So that was kind of nice in a way. But yeah, it was shock, and then kind of sort of trying to prepare myself like I would normally for a game. But yeah, it's tough when you kind of when everything else is going on. Your family are messaging you, friends are messaging you, and all that sort of stuff started to go on. So it was pretty crazy.
It must have been an incredible experience. Phoning family and telling them you're going to play for England must just be... That's the dream for most people, you know. Unless you're a Welshman, of course.
Obviously, yeah. It was crazy. Especially Dad, who's kind of been there throughout my rugby journey. Well, my family in general have been at that for my rugby journey, but Dad sort of probably started it, taking me down to the local rugby club as well, and he loves it. So, to speak to him and tell him when we play for England I'm sure it made him smile as much as it did me.
Yeah, man, it's just an incredible thing. My brother, when we were growing up, was a really incredible swimmer in Commonwealth Games, training for the Olympics, etc. And my dad and he had this special bond where I didn't really appreciate it at the time. When I would look back and I see my dad was a police officer, so he would come off his night shift, go and drive my brother to swimming training at like 5 a.m, like 30 minutes away, and then do it again in the evening. And I just, only as an adult do I appreciate how important the role of the parent is in the nurturing of future talent. I mean, was your dad in that close proximity to your career then?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, like I'm so grateful. Like I can't even imagine. Well, I guess until I have kids and I'm driving around places, I probably won't fully appreciate the lengths they go to make sure you get in places and help you develop. So I'm massively grateful. And he's been there. Him and Mum have both been there through the whole journey. So yeah, I'm massively in debt to them.
Has it been a gradual becoming a professional rugby player? Have you always been good?
I wouldn't say like a full standout. At my local club, I was probably one of the better ones. But it never really became apparent to me that I was going to be good enough to play professional rugby until I got offered a contract from Saints when I was 18. So I wanted to be a professional rugby player from probably about the age of 10, but never thought it was actually it was actually going to happen. And I had a place at university and stuff ready, ready to go. And then had a reasonably decent season with the Saints under 18s team, and got offered a contract from there. And so, yeah, it was never something that I was really expecting. Kind of getting off of that contract was like, wow, okay, here we go.
Oh my God. Yeah. I've got to do this now professionally. And that's a different level. And one of the interesting things about professionalism, people just think it's just being paid for what you do. It's an entire attitude. It's an entire lifestyle change, all geared towards one thing. That must have been a big jump.
Yeah, it is. I mean, even when you're at school, it's sort of that from sort of 16 onwards, where you're sacrificing things, like missing out on parties, festivals, all that kind of stuff, and enjoying things with your mates, to go to games, to be available for selection, to try and get you a spot. I mean, it's all worth it in the end. But yeah, at the time you're thinking, geez, okay, I'm sacrificing a lot here. But yeah, I mean, it's a lifestyle, and people do think, oh, you're at the club for 5 hours a day, and then you got so much free time and all this. But yeah, trust me, it's challenging.
It's a lot more to it, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, physically, emotionally, it takes its toll, and obviously, you enjoy it massively. Like it's a dream. Like you are getting paid ultimately for a hobby. And something you love doing, so I can't complain there. But yeah, it's a lot more challenging than I think the general public think it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm very lucky to have a few mates who are professional rugby players, and the physical toll. There's so many incredible upsides, like you just mentioned, but Jesus, like the impacts that are happening these days are phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, I to be honest, I don't think I really appreciated what it was like to not be sore again until lockdown happened. and you kind of wake up and you go, wow, this is a nice feeling.
I can move my arms normally.
Yeah, not got any aches or pains. I think you kind of just get used to just carrying Knox, carrying Niggles, until you can appreciate some time off. And you're like,
yeah. That's really interesting. It's really interesting, actually, because lockdown, I suppose, put an enforced brake on professional sports like it's never seen before. Do you think that's going to be beneficial for the longevity of people's careers, having that time out?
I think so, yeah. I mean, maybe not for the younger people. It probably won't affect that too much, but definitely for sort of people coming towards the end of their careers and stuff, I think it's probably going to add another 1 or 2 years onto the length of their careers, I'd say.
Yeah, well, I think Ali Wynne-Jones definitely is thinking, duh, this could get me on the Lions tour, this.
Yeah.
And actually, that brings me on quite nicely. Lions tours, is that something that you aspire to do? Obviously, that's a stupid question. You obviously aspire to be a Lion. Is that something that you see in the near future?
I mean, that's the ultimate goal, isn't it? To say you're a British and Irish Lion, and being able to retire as a British and Irish Lion would be something special, yeah. So, I mean, that's the ultimate goal. Right now, it's not my focus. Getting some wins on the board with Saints is my focus at the moment, playing well for them. But, yeah, I mean, everyone has their long-term future goals, and that's definitely right at the top.
It seems like you've got a very calming kind of mindset towards getting too ahead of yourself. Is that something that you have ingrained through club or through captains and players surrounding you? Or is that something that your father or your family or your environment when you were younger might have instilled in you?
Yeah, I think that definitely must have influenced it. They've always kept me pretty grounded. And I mean, I'd say I'm a pretty grounded person. I realise that, I'm lucky to be in the position I'm in. And B, rugby's not going to last forever. So I'm just kind of, enjoying it as much as I can. And just, I kind of have the mentality, it is what it is. Obviously you can work after things. But it is what it is. And so I'm just going to keep working and keep enjoying my rugby.
Yeah. I mean, like you said earlier, you know, those choices that people make when you're 18, 19 to take things seriously, when all your mates are down the pub having Mac and D's every 5 minutes, maybe you still have those because you burn off a lot of calories. But like, it's that choice. I don't think, and this is a very interesting theory, I don't think that it's always a conscious choice. It's to do with a subconscious mentality that's been instilled in you through family, through your environment. It's something that pushes you to that next level. Do you think that's something you have that just takes you to that next level without really having to think about it?
Yeah, I think so. I think at the time you're saying this is like missing this to do this is a tough decision. But I think it's a decision you were always like, I feel like I was always going to make. Regardless of how tough that decision was. Because I had goals that I wanted to achieve. And to get there, I knew like it was going to take sacrifices. So yeah, I guess there's that little subconscious element of it. It still doesn't really make it easier.
Of course.
And I mean, there's still sacrifices you do today, like you have today being a professional rugby player. I mean, everyone has sacrifices with jobs. But yeah, like we were speaking just before we came on about Christmas and people having a few weeks off over Christmas, and you're like, wow, that'd be nice. and things like that. So yeah, you still make sacrifices, but ultimately you're doing something you love. So I can't complain.
Yeah. I suppose those sacrifices become a little easier if it's your purpose.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
I think we talk about it all the time, to be honest. When you are very fortunate or you happen to stumble upon something you love and you're good at it and you have the mentality, that's the kind of sweet spot in life, whatever it is. And it could be collecting train sets, whatever it is. It could be whatever. And I think there's a niche for anything at the moment. But obviously, when you have all those things align, that's when it works, right?
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's... Yeah, like I think you put it perfectly, to be honest. Having that sweet spot, I'm in an incredibly lucky position. I feel like I'm very lucky to be where I am. And there'll be times where I guess people take that you take it for granted because you've had a tough day of training or it's snowing outside, you can't go out and put in some hard yards or something like that. But ultimately, you know that you're in a pretty privileged position, and so whatever you're doing, you know it's worth it.
Well, it seems like you exercise gratitude very well there. I think that's a good motivational tactic, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, like for me, the last thing I want to be doing is sitting behind a desk. I'm a kind of outdoorsy guy anyway, so. and yeah, I've put in work since I was young to try and get where I am. But there's also luck along the way, and so you have to kind of be grateful to get into the position you got into.
Yeah, and also, like you say, the bad days, the tough days when you, like you say, it's snowing or you just don't feel like doing it. You know, everybody, that's going to happen. What is there anything like a technique? Or is there like a video of The Rock saying, you've got it, whatever it is? I don't know. But like, is there something that you can draw from that gets you to that level where maybe gratitude, when maybe just the natural instinct to do it doesn't work?
I've been lucky in a way that I've not had like weeks where, like a whole week where I've been going, I'm really struggling. Normally it tends to just be days where motivation levels might be low or I'm just struggling to kind of get up for a training session. But for me, I mean, maybe it's not the best mentality to have and it's something I can work on, but for me, it's just like, just get through, just go, like, you've got an hour or two of training, that's it. And then you can go home and you can reset yourself and take your mind off it and then come back the next day. And hopefully things have changed because I know I don't have 2, 3, 4 days on the bounce where I'm feeling like that. So I know that the next day I'm probably going to be coming in with a better attitude and more motivation.
So you don't like go, I personally, if it's something with exercise, I've got to stick on some video from The Rock or something. I feel like he's yelling at me. I'm like, oh, all right, okay, let's do this.
I think they can potentially work for me. I mean, once in a while, if I'm watching rock videos every week, I think I get fed up of them, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Actually, you probably become immune to it. Be like, oh, there he is again. No, shut up, Dwayne.
Cut me off.
Yeah.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
And I was really sorry to see at the time, actually, that you had a head injury. And in the press recently, a good friend of mine actually has just been diagnosed with early onset of dementia, etc. And it's opened up a huge conversation, and I think rightly so, about head injuries within the sport of rugby. First and foremost, how are you with that concussion now?
No, I'm all good. I played on the weekend and got through, so now I'm feeling fine. Luckily, I've not had too many ones. I mean, I've had one big one where I was out for a while, but I've not had too many. So I've been lucky in that sense, I guess. But yeah, I mean, it's the people who are coming out now played in a rugby era where things were a lot different, I think. And you didn't have all these protocols and return to play stuff, and there wasn't as much information on head injuries, and they probably weren't as well looked after. And so now, I mean, we're definitely not at a finishing point. I mean, there's a lot to learn still. I still think there's a lot of information that we probably don't know, and a lot of uncertainty. But the way we're dealing with head injuries now is tenfold better than it was probably 10, 15 years ago. And so I guess we're lucky in that state. It's not something that overly concerns me. Like I struggle to worry about the future. I'm more of a just in the present kind of mind. And I mean, in 30, 40 years time, maybe I'll look back and say I should have probably worried a bit more. But I struggle to do that. So, I mean, we've got a good doctor at the club and professional advice you can seek. So at the moment, I'm just kind of trusting that and getting on with things.
Yeah, man, that's the thing. It's appalling to hear what happened back in the day. But like you said, you've taken time off. You've had a long period of time off. And that's not necessarily to do with the severity of the injury. It's just how they really want to make sure that you are 100% spick and span before you get back. I think that's actually very positive right now.
Yeah, exactly. And all these protocols that are in place, you can't, like, no one can slip under the radar now and be playing, going back on the pitch after head knocks and stuff. They have all these things in place now, so that prevents further damage.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. That attitude of being present, I mean, in an injury situation, must be the most important thing. Like you say as well, one step at a time and being grateful. All that comes into play, because it's a lonely time, I can imagine, being on the injured list.
Yeah, it is. I mean, luckily with my head knock, I was after 2-3 weeks, I was able to kind of not, I wasn't able to fully train, but I was able to run and gym and all that kind of stuff. So there wasn't too much rehab involved with head injuries. Yeah, that was kind of nice. But yeah, I mean, I know boys who've been out for 8-9 months at a time, and you've got a lot of hard rehab to do, and at times, especially a few boys with knee injuries, at times I think they're thinking, geez, am I ever going to be able to like get back to where I was? And so I can imagine that's it's incredibly mentally tough to get through that. But again, no matter what injuries you have, you're kind of thinking, well, I want to be doing what I love again. So I want to be back playing. You have that end goal, and so you're gonna put in hard yards to make sure you can get back to where you want to be.
Yeah, I and it goes back to that Richard McCaw thing, like preparing for the bad moments, and that goes in life as well. I think a lot of people don't want to necessarily think about the worst case scenario. So, like, for example, you know, we don't want to talk about parents passing, you know, but it happens. And if you don't really think about it, you're going to find it really hard to deal with it in that moment. And that's quite a interesting mindset. And I suppose with you guys, as professional athletes, injuries are part and parcel of the game. So yeah, there must be a wide understanding of this happens, let's have a protocol for it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, every injury is different, I guess. But you understand when you kind of enter the game of rugby that there's going to be times where you're probably going to be out for a long period, and people deal with that differently. Like I know people who want to get invested in stuff outside of the club and allowing themselves time to kind of put effort into things outside of the club has really helped them mentally to be able to, when they do come into the club, to switch on and work hard. I know boys who just like being around the club, being around the boys still, and that kind of helps them get through. So yeah, people deal with it differently, and there's different challenges with different injuries. But ultimately, I guess everyone has that sort of end goal, like I said.
Yeah, that preparation for those moments is very interesting. And is that something that you do? Do you have anything outside that you're kind of bubbling over for maybe after when you retire, etc.? Is that something you've got your eye on?
Yeah, I'm studying at the moment at Open University, so I'm in my fifth year of that now. So I've got this year and then one more year to go. Doing environmental science. So yeah, it's been a challenging 5 years, like just kind of getting home from training, especially on long tough days. Getting home and motivate yourself to get that done and get your head behind a book or the laptop and get reading is challenging, but I kind of like it, to be honest. It again switches my focus away from rugby, allows me to invest in something outside of that.
That's interesting. What could you do with that afterwards? What have you got in mind?
Nothing really. it's something I enjoyed studying at school, and after my first year of rugby, I wasn't studying, I was kind of thinking, geez, I need to kind of get my head down and actually do some work again, because I feel like I'm going brain dead here. So I just picked something that I'd enjoy doing at school, but there's no sort of future job in mind. I think I guess it looks good on the CV, having a degree alongside playing professional rugby.
I mean, you may as well. If you've got that mindset, why not? Why not? What's next? You've got 5 years of that. Well, how long have you got left of that course?
So this year and then one more.
Oh, right. Okay. Bloody hell, it's a long course, that.
Yeah, well, it's basically a three-year course, but part-time. So.
Oh, I see.
Doubles the length of it. Well, once I've got that done, I don't know, I'll get some work experience done or something and try and research more into sort of any jobs I'm interested in.
Do you know what? Weirdly, this year's brought that up for me as well. I was sitting around, making a living on Zoom calls, basically. That's just been my year. I could have gone the entire year working without any trousers on. That's a fact. And I have at times. But not today. I promise you, I'm fully clothed today. But next year, I'm thinking about doing a private detective course. How fun would that be?
That'd be cool. CSI.
Yeah, exactly. So in my head, that's like wearing a Mac with a mustache and, you know, one of those little tape recorder things. It sounds a lot more interesting in my head. It's going to be going through people's bins.
Yeah.
But I think maybe this year's brought that out in a lot of people to have other options. And unfortunately, this way that this is demolished, the performing arts industries and the arts is just being abysmal. So a lot of people are retraining. So, I mean, if you guys can do that, I mean, that can hopefully inspire lots of other people to try and find something else in some other way, right?
Yeah, no, I hope so. I mean, it's always good to have other strings to your bow. And I think everyone knows that, I mean, rugby doesn't last forever. And it's a short-term career. So if you're lucky, you're going to have a career from sort of 18 to your mid-30s, if you're very lucky. So, I mean, that's less than half your time, actually, where you need to be employed, probably. So, yeah, having other strings to your bow and other interests is crucial to... otherwise, I think you just lose your mind when you finish rugby.
Don't say that. Mid-30s. I'm still expecting a call-up from Wales at some point.
Sorry, we'll take it to the 40s.
Yeah, 40s. Thank you. I've got my eyes on the Lions tour. But I'll definitely be there in some capacity because that experience is just phenomenal. Have you ever done a Lions tour?
No, I've never been to watch. Right. It's on my dad's bucket list, so I'm sure he'll be going to the next one. I don't know how.
No pressure.
How Africa's going to be, but yeah.
Well, we'll see how it goes. We'll see. I wish he was in New Zealand again this time because they're doing brilliantly with the coronavirus, aren't they?
Yeah, they've nailed it. Yeah,
well, mate. If it was a Lions tour, I would bubble for 10 days, 100%, just to go.
Yeah, I mean that'd probably be worth it, wouldn't it?
It takes 10 days to get there, so the plane journey effectively is the bubble.
Yeah,
just take a boat. We'll take a boat like old school days, old school Lions tours. We'll sail down to New Zealand. Mate, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I could talk to you all day about this. I'm fascinated. I am completely envious of having you making that call to your family saying, I'm going to play for my country. That must be wonderful. And you should be very proud of yourself.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
And good luck with the rest of your season. And don't beat Wales too badly, please. Please.
I can't promise that.
No, I'm serious. Please don't. you think you're having a tough run of losses? My God. Thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me.
Change the face of men's health. For more information or to support Movember, head to movember.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.